2 Timothy chapter 2, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 26. 2 Timothy chapter 2, and verses 1 through 26. And we're going to see what God has to say to your heart and my heart. And I hope today that we can paint a picture for you that's here. My goal is to paint a picture for you that you can see. And I know I'm not in my three-piece suit and tie this morning, and that's okay, because y'all see what I got to do up here, and I don't want to mess a $300-$400 suit up. Anyhow, you'll see the message as it comes together. But 2 Timothy chapter 2, and we'll look at verses 1 through 26, and we'll see what God has to say to your heart and my heart today. 2 Timothy, it's talking about God speaks, the complete picture of a believer. I believe when you look at 2 Timothy with me today, and look at verses 1 through 26, you'll see a complete picture of a believer. And it's my prayer and it's my hope that you will see the complete picture of the believer today. And somebody done turned this heat on up here. Well, we're going to turn the air on because I'm hot and I see y'all fanning, so I know y'all hot. If somebody wants to bump that down in the back, they can. Shane, you just did? Awesome. Praise the Lord. We wanted to get heated up with Jesus. Amen. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 2, as I said, verses 1 through 26. Go with me in prayer. Our Father and our God, the Lord, I thank you for your sweet spirit here today. God, I thank you for a house full of people. God, our church is full today. And Lord, thank you for that. Thank you for all our guests and visitors that have come this way. God, it's a blessing to see them, get to meet them. And God, thank you for that. Thank you for all the support of Adam's family and Hayden the Lord and Hayden's baptism. And God, it's an important time of his life. And God, I thank you for all the family and friends that's come out to support Lord Hayden, the Lord, through his baptism. God, thank you for those that took time out of their day to be here. God, I called many people, the Lord, to ask them to be a part of this service today. And God, they had other things going on. But God, they dropped everything they had going on to be here and the sacrifice coming. And God, I thank you for that. God, I thank you for your word. Your word is powerful, God. And God, I pray today that you will bless the anointing and the reading of your word. God, it is your word as we open it up and as we read it, God. May your words jump out of these pages to our lives. May your word become a living word to us, God. May your word become life to us today. God, as we open it up, God, may we be not only hearers of your word, but God, doers of your word. May you open up our hearts. May you open up our minds. May you open up our ears, God. May you allow us to receive the message today. God, may we apply your message to the Lord. May we not be the same as what we walked in here as. God, may we be revived, renewed, refreshed, God, and made alive. The Lord, may we be re-energized, the Lord, to face life, the Lord. May we be changed individuals when we leave here, God. May we not be the same. God, may your word go forward. May it cut where it needs to cut. May it pierce where it needs to pierce. May it convict, God, where it needs to convict. And God, we know it's all in love through your word. And God, we thank you for your word today. Defeat the devil, bind him up in any opposition. God, he is not welcome here. And God, keep him at bay. And God, let the power of the Holy Spirit have freedom to work in our lives today. God, we thank you. God, we love you. Thank you for meeting us in this place. God, we feel your presence. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Look at verses 1 through 26. It says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. That thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if any man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husbandman, the farmer, that laboreth must be first partaker of his fruits or his crops. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound." Amen? "And therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is the faithful saying, For if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we would deny him, he will also deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doeth the canker, of whom is Himonius and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. Amen. Having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in the great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If any man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, love, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart, a clean vessel. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servants of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. When I looked and I read over Timothy, in 2 Timothy here is Paul's last willing testament to his spiritual son, Timothy. Paul is here and he is in a Roman prison cell right now. But Paul imparts his final words of wisdom and encouragement to Timothy, who is ministering in the midst of hardship and opposition in Ephesus. Paul is still encouraging Timothy. Paul, I see as a senior pastor, taking Timothy under his wings, loving in him, instilling in him, and investing in his life. Paul stresses the importance of godly living, preaching the word in season and out of season, preparing for the coming apostasy within the church. Underlying all that, Paul says that it is important. The importance of God's word is the only foundation strong enough to withstand the persecution from without and from within. And Paul's encouraging Timothy as he writes these things. And there's eight different aspects of the Christian here that I want us to look at today. One of them, when you go back and you look in 2 Timothy and you look in verse 1, you will see, if you take a note, the believer as a son. You will see the believer as a son. I'm Hulk, so what? I'm the son of God. Hulk ain't got nothing on the Son of God, amen? You will see the believer as a son. And you look back at verse 1. You look back there, it says, thou therefore, my what?
Son.
It says, thou therefore, my son. He says, be strong in the grace that is in Jesus Christ. Be strong in there. Paul calls Timothy his son. Paul seen Timothy as a spiritual son. He loved him. He invested in him as a son. And we see that Paul thinks of Timothy in that manner. And Timothy came to know the Lord through Paul's ministry. Timothy came to be saved through Paul's ministry. And Paul led him to a saving knowledge of Jesus and then invested into his life. He invested in him. Now, every believer that is a Christian believer that has made Jesus Lord of their life is a child of God. Every person that's made Jesus Lord of their life is a child of God. We're not born as children of God. We're not born into salvation. We're born into sin. But thank God through the Holy Spirit's convicting, thank God through parents and churches and things of that nature, visitation, grandparents and stuff like that, that we were taught about the Lord at some point in life. That we had an opportunity to make Jesus Lord of our life. Or you could have been, God could have naturally zapped you in some field that you were in of work and said, hey, I'm knocking at your heart's door. You need to open up and let me come in. And God can do that. But we see here as a believer. And you know, as I thought about that, I got Grant with me today. Because poor Landon is sicker than a dog. You got my picture, man. We had to take him to the hospital. But Grant is my son. He's not only my son, but he's also my spiritual son. Because Grant has asked Jesus to come in his heart to be his Lord and Savior. And it is my job to invest in his life. It is my job to love him. It is my job as his father, as his earthly father, but not only that, but as the spiritual mentor in his life, it's my job to teach my son about Jesus. It's my job to love him. Just as you see Paul imparting into Timothy that spiritual wisdom and knowledge. It's the same thing that I do with Grant and Tanya does with Grant, investing in them. Not only that, but it's the same thing that you see Miss Tony doing. It's the same thing that she sacrifices with. It's the same thing that all our children's teachers sacrifice with. It's the same thing Miss Beth does on Sunday nights and Wednesdays. It's the same thing that our Awana's teachers does. It's the same thing that all our nursery workers and all of them do. They look at these children as precious children, and they invest in their life because they're special. Because they're God's children. And he says, suffer not the little children to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. And when they come and they have questions about Jesus, and they come and they ask about the Lord, just as Hayden did, it is our job to stop what we're doing and invest in the life of our children. It's our job to stop what we're doing. Amen. You can clap. It's all good. One thing you'll learn, we might be in a Baptist church, but it's okay to say amen. It's okay to raise your hands. It's okay to get excited about Jesus. I know others might fall out in a Baptist church, but it's okay. It's okay. They're going to be in a rude awakening when we get to heaven. Amen. When we're dancing up there, singing, dancing. Whoa, Lord, that's a cuss word in a Baptist church. They're going to be surprised when we get to heaven. Amen. All that's going on there. But he sees him as a son. He said in verse 1, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The next thing that I see here, not only is the believer as a son, but the believer as a steward. The believer as a steward. When you look at verse 2, look what it says. It said, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. And we see here the believer as a son. We see Paul. Paul here starts out by calling Timothy my son. Paul thinks, as I said, Timothy in that aligns. As the Christian, God has entrusted us with something. As a Christian, God has entrusted us with something. He's entrusted us with his word. He's entrusted us with his spirit. He's entrusted us to get his word and his point across. He's entrusted us with that. Christianity is not something that we get ourselves and then keep to ourselves. That's not what we're supposed to do with it. It's something that God gives us that we receive to give back to others. To give to others so that they can have an opportunity of making Jesus Lord of their life. We're to be the stewards of the spiritual treasury that God has given us. It is our duty to invest. It's our duty to invest in what God has given us in the lives of others. It's our duty to invest that. You know, and as I thought about the investing in the lives of others, I thought about Mom. And I thought about my grandparents and stuff like that. You can go ahead, Mom. I thought about my grandparents. And I thought about, you know, thank the Lord that my mom had grandparents that instilled into them, that invested in their lives, that taught them about Christianity, that taught them about the importance of being in church that the grandparents passed down. Well, thank the Lord that my mom took those qualities and passed them down to my brother and I, that she invested into our lives, that my mom poured out into my brother and my life and taught us about Christianity, taught us about Jesus, brought us to church, brought us to children's church, invested in our lives, that not only that, but she instilled something in me that I'll never forget. It's called bedtime prayer, where she would gather around the bed of my brother and I, And she would invest in our life. She would pray over us. Pray for God's blessings to be upon our lives. Pray for our mates in the future. Pray for us as we ventured out and went to college and stuff like that. And invested in us. And said that, you know, keep up your grades. I'm praying for you that you'll find godly women for your lives. And God brought my brother and I some godly women in our lives. But invested in that. Took the time to sit around our bedside and share with us about Scripture. Share with us the importance of what it meant to be a child of God. But not only that, all this summer, thank the Lord for Mom, that my kids were able to spend the entire summer with Grandma, because I had to work and Tanya had to work. And our kids were able to spend that time with them. But as she invested in us, she invests in the grandchildren. Hold that mic up so they can hear you.
I want to read scripture that I taught Timmy and Randy from the very beginning. Of course, everyone knows it's John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall also believe in me and have life everlasting. And it is. You've got to know, you've got to teach each and every one of your children that, because if we don't teach them, they may get the wrong message out there. And we've got to teach them that if they believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and accept them in their heart as their Lord and Savior and do good in school and strive to be that better person and don't go around bullying and don't go around agitating other people, but to be the best you can be and to love each other and to pray for one another. Because a family, I believe with wholeheartedly, if you pray together and you play together, you're going to stay together. Amen. And I have a close-knit family and always have. And I want that for my children. There is not a day that goes by. I get up usually at 5 o'clock in the morning. And I get up and I pray for these children and my grandchildren. I pray that Timmy will be able to do the Lord's work and lead God, lead him wherever he needs to be. I pray for Courtney in college, and her daddy's in college. I pray for them, and then for their jobs. I pray that they'll have a great time and a great fellowship in their jobs, and everything will go smooth. And then for the little ones that goes to regular school, I pray for them. And there in the night that I go to bed, I don't lift up this Bible, and I read it. I read that daily bread. I read this Bible, and before I go to sleep, I pray again for my children and my grandchildren and for all of my friends and relatives. I don't care who they are. They may not know me, but I pray for this whole church, each and every one of y'all, and I always will, and I want y'all to always pray for us, because it's rough out there in the world these days, and if we don't pray for our family and teach our kids and our grandkids to pray and have family time together, then who's going to teach them? How are they going to know? How are they going to become preachers and teachers and people that are leaders in this world? If we don't teach them, then who is? And we've got to encourage them to do good in school so that they can get good jobs and be able to take care of their spouses and their children when they grow up and have children.
Amen. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. You can take that and sit there. Amen. And my mom
loves you.
Loves me. And she did that for us. And she prayed for us. And she instilled those qualities in us. And all it takes is about 2 or 3 minutes for you to pray with them and stop to let your kids know how important they are. To let them know how proud you are of them. And how proud I am of my niece and my nephew. To let them know I'm so proud of them.
Amen.
We're going to school. My brother has a 4.0 in college right now. And he works a full-time job. Over 40 hours a week. And goes to college full-time. And just having a 4.0, and him and Courtney get into it and have a little competition at who's got the better grades. Amen? But invest in those qualities. But not only that, as I said earlier, Paul was that person in Timothy. The truth had been made known to him and other believers by Paul. Paul invested. He's an older preacher. And Paul invested in the life of Timothy. And he invested those qualities in him and the knowledge of Timothy as a young preacher. And that knowledge was passed down and handed down from time to time. And I got two Pauls with me. I got my Paul, Brother Leroy, is my Paul. And I got him with me. And I'm so thankful that I got Brother Leroy as my Paul. And as everybody should have a Paul in life. Everybody should have somebody in life that will invest in them and spend time with them as Brother Leroy does with me. And I see him as my Paul.
Brother Tim, officially, under God's authority today, I adopt you as my son in the Lord.
Amen.
And your family.
Praise
I adopt
Lord.
Y'all in the Lord.
Amen. Thank you. It's okay. You can clap if you want to. Amen.
Brother Tim, the Bible says, and Jesus said these words, "Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." That's when he called his disciples together as a disciple to a disciple. I come today that you may know that as a true servant of God and as a true preacher of the gospel, you're not going to be popular with man, but you're popular with God.
Amen.
And that's what matters.
Amen.
As Paul told young Timothy, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Regardless of where the chips may fall, continue to be faithful to God.
Amen.
That will encourage you, that will strengthen you, and that will help you in your life as you grow continuously as a minister of gospel, in the gospel of Jesus
Amen.
Christ. Knowing that I stand by, and you've got a congregation here that love you
Amen.
And stand by.
Amen.
And praying for you. And you can be encouraged knowing that you're in the center of God's will and you're doing what God's will is demanding of you and has called you to do. You have more than taken up your cross. What is the cross that we're talking about?
Mm-hmm.
It is, I believe that it's our service that
Amen.
We have to the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe it's our dedication, our consecration, our commitment, and our faithfulness to uphold
Amen.
The word. And you fit all of those categories to a T.
Thank you.
And we come today to just praise and thank and glorify and praise God. Knowing, you see, that whenever you stand behind that pulpit or you come down here and you begin to preach the word of God to us, don't worry about what somebody else is thinking, but you just continue to be faithful to the Lord Jesus. Because you're going to have to give an account to him,
Amen.
Not to us.
Amen.
And I would rather you make me mad here than for me to spend an eternity
Amen.
In hell
Amen.
Because
Amen.
You told me the truth.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, brother. Thank you.
Amen.
I don't fit the category as a Paul to a Timothy, but if you want to classify me as that, so be it.
Amen.
To God be the glory.
Amen. You know, as he said, take up your cross and follow me.
Amen.
Folks, take up your cross. Not only that, but I'm so blessed, as I said, that I have two Pauls that have over 100 years combined in the ministry.
Amen.
50 years apiece serving the Lord as a pastor. And I'm blessed, and this church is blessed to have two of them in here. And this is my other
Amen.
Paul.
Amen.
You know, one of the most important things in the world that we have is not money, not even our wife, our family.
Amen.
But the most important thing we have is our soul. Where will it be in eternity? And as Paul wrote to Timothy, I'd like to read two from Mark chapter 8, verse 35. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake, the gospel, the same shall save it. How can we how shall we lose our life? I know if I'm in the battle, I'm shot, I lose my life. But how can we lose our life when we commit ourselves to God? That's it. You see, we lose our life because it's no longer ours. Galatians 2:20, for the life I now live, I live by faith through him that saved me. It is God in us. And that's how we lose our life, is giving it to Jesus. We can lose our life as we go out. Some people don't understand that. My dad said, Bill, you're going to the mountains of West Virginia. Your family's going to starve. Did I ever miss a meal? Now, we had plenty of beans and potatoes and cornbread and bologna sandwiches, but you lose your life in Christ. Amen. Then, the next important thing in your life is your family. God created the family before he created the church, before he created government, and your family. When I hear what your mother said, and your grandfather, Brother Jack, I love to hear him preach. I'll tell you, if you never heard Jack preach, you've missed a lot. So they've invested in you. Now we invest in you. Brother Leroy and myself and this church, we invest in you that you will continue doing what God would have you to do. Amen. The Bible says in verse 36, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? If you could put a price tag on your soul, what would it be? Can you imagine what it would be if you had to put a price on your soul? Is it worth $1 million? No, it's worth a lifetime of eternity with Jesus Christ. Amen. And as you've been trained, brother, I see you love these little children. That's a blessing. Amen. God said, suffer the little children to come unto me. And what's a church without children? We've been in a lot of churches when we were missionaries in West Virginia. We went in some where there were no children, no babies. When I was preaching, they'd come in, Brother Bill, I'm afraid my baby will cry. If I can't get louder than your baby, I got no business being here.
Thank you,
brother. So, brother, you just keep on keeping on. Amen. Because we invest in you to share God's word. As he gives it to you, not to us. We're to receive it. You're to give it. Father, thank you for Tim. Bless him abundantly. Father, be with Brother Tim. Thank you that he has given his life to you in exchange for eternal happiness. And Father, thank you for his family that share him. It's not easy being a wife and children with a dad or a husband that's a preacher. Now just be with Tim and bless him abundantly. Thank you for him. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Amen. Amen. Around here, time don't matter. Amen. 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 You go and you see the believer, as I said, as a son. You see, the believer, as I said, as a steward, those, as like my mom, have invested in the lives of me and the grandchildren. You see, my Paul and Brother Bill and Brother Leroy, that took the time as retired ministers to come and join this fellowship and instill in me the qualities of being a pastor. You know, as I think about that and I go on, I think about a soldier. I think about Alex, one of my best friends. Had the opportunity to marry him and Wendy. And now they've had a baby that they brought in. That's my baby girl that I never able to have. But they share. You know, I called Alex and up and I talked to him. And he was getting ready for hunting. And he had him a full beard and he was looking like the Duck Dynasty man. But I asked him, I said, Alex, could I use you as a soldier, brother? And Alex just finished his tour of duty in February of this year. And in verse 3 and 4, it says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. It says, no man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him that has chosen him to be a soldier. You know, a soldier endures hardness. A soldier endures hardships. Alex has been there. Alex has been there. He's toured around this country. He's trained in every climate that this country has to offer. And for 6 years of his life, he invested in taking care of this country and supporting for his family. It's not been easy. Serving God is not a soft job. It requires great endurance. Serving the Lord requires great endurance. As a soldier, Alex couldn't entangle himself with what the world was doing. He had to remain clean. He had to be ready to serve his country at any time, at any moment. He had to be ready and totally committed to following his commanding officer. Whatever he told him to do, he had to go. It's 2 a.m, 1 a.m, 3 a.m, they had to pick up and go. They had to go, sometimes not knowing if he was going to return. A Christian soldier is supposed to magnify Christ. A soldier thinks of his whole army and not just himself. When the bombs are busting overhead, things were coming in the middle of the world. You don't tuck tail and run at first sight of the enemy. You dig in and you endure and you take care of those that are around you. A soldier for Christ. A soldier is what Timothy was and what Paul instilled in Timothy. A soldier endures. A soldier comes home. A soldier that I called last night that had a beard like Duck Dynasty shade for to be here today. A soldier. Not only that, but he goes on to say in verse 5, the believer as an athlete in verse 5. It goes on to say, and a man also strives for masteries. That's an athlete. Yet, if it be not crowned, except he strive lawfully. You know, as I thought about an athlete, I thought about so many athletes today. Paul told Timothy to obey the rules. There have been several great athletes that broke every rule around with drug enhancement things, broken all the rules, and today's athletes take steroids and performance-enhancing drugs. They're cheating. They want shortcuts. With every risk that they take, they involve risking their careers, their family, and their lives. But Paul wrote to Timothy, there wasn't very many people standing in his corner rooting him on. You know, as I thought about that athlete, I thought about Courtney. And Courtney is a black belt, and I know many of you don't know that, but she's following the family history. Courtney's a black belt. And to be able to be a black belt, you have to endure some things. You have different forms you have to do. Go ahead. As I talk, you got different forms you have to do, and she'll do them while I'm talking. And different tests that you got to take, and different actions that you got to do, and that you got to remember, that you got to remember in order to advance and take different belts and come and take your classes and stuff. Not only that, but she had to be able to break 3 inches of plywood with her fist. She had to be able to break 6 inches of plywood with her legs. She had to break 3-inch thick blocks and stacked up to 1 foot. Y'all want to mess with her? Better yet, y'all want to mess with me? Had to break them and stuff. Awesome. But she had to do... You sit down. You sit down. Thank you. But she had to go through all this training to be an athlete. She had to do push-ups. She had to do set-ups. She had to stretch. She had to run. She had to know all these forms and all this stuff to do that. And she did it without any enhancement drugs. You can do what you set out to do and accomplish being a black belt or whatever it is in life that you want to do when you put Jesus first and allow Him to rule and reign in your life. Being a Christian, you have to be an athlete. Not only that, but being a Christian, as he goes on to say in verse 6 and 7, comes out to be a farmer. Be a farmer. We got a couple farming guys in here today I need to come for. It says in verses 6, it says, the husbandman, which is the farmer, that laborer, must be first the partaker of fruits. That means must first be the partaker of the crop. It says, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. A farmer. We got a generation of farmers standing up here. Amen. You know, wonderful farmers in the area. It goes on to say in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 5 through 9. It says, who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by who you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. Goes on to say in the verse, I have planted. It said, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. You know, as a farmer, you got different tools that you work with. Mike and these Revel boys up here have big tools, but they got little tools today. Alright? But they're up here and they got different tools. And things that they have to work in. If they had these, I tickle my own self sometimes. Y'all take a picture of that. Somebody got to put that on Facebook, amen. They're going to pay for this one. Farmers. But he goes on to say in those verses of Scripture again in verse 6. He said that, I have planted, Apollos of water, but God gave the increase. He goes on to say in verse 7 through 9. He says, so then neither is he that planteth anything, neither is he that watereth, but that God that giveth the increase. Amen. You know, and I sit there and I've been a part of every one of their farms where they've been. And I could tell you, these guys give it to the Lord. Amen. And Mike says, unless God's hand is on it, unless God provides the water, unless the climate is right, as they all have said, Tony and Ronnie, as they all have said, unless God does these things, you know, there's going to be no harvest. There's going to be no increase of the crop. There's going to be nothing that takes place unless God's hand is on it. He goes on to say in verse 8 and 9, he says, now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. In verse 9 he says, for we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's farmer. Husbandry means farmer. And ye are God's building. You know, it takes everything. And these boys got plenty of heavy equipment. But folks, you know what it takes just as a normal gardener. And Brother John's in here as a gardener. Man, it takes a spade shovel. It takes, you know, planting that seed and spreading that seed around. It takes raking out the grass, raking it up, It takes hoeing out the stumps and things of that nature. And then if God don't do his part, it takes some water. But it takes all these things, folks, in life as a farmer. In every one of these situations, it takes different tools that you work with to get God's work done and to get God's work across. And thank the Lord for the farmers that we have today. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. God
bless you, man. Thank you, brother. Appreciate you. Love you, man.
Love you, brother. Appreciate it. And I got to tell you, just like Alex, these boys were hunting in South Carolina when I called them last night. And I said, I need some farmers. I get a phone call from Mike this morning at 8 o'clock and said, Brother Tim, I'm in Jacksonville. I've drove all night, but I'm going to be at church and I'm going to be your farmer. You know, that's a servant. To be able to shave your beard to be in service today. To be able to be hunting on a dog box in South Carolina. And after I ask him to come and be a farmer, to pick up, load the dogs up, take off last night in the middle of the night to be here at church this morning to be my farmer. That's a servant. That's a servant. That's what God wants us to do. Not only that, but a believer is to be a worker. A believer is to be a worker. When you look back at verse 14 through 18, the believer is to be a worker. It says, of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them, therefore, the Lord, that strive about the words to no profit. But to be subverters of the hearers, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shame from profane and vain babblings, for they were increased more in godliness, and their word will eat as doeth a canker. But whom is as wholeness and fleetest, whom concerning the truth have erred, saying that their resurrection is past already, and overthrow through their faith of some. You know, as it talked about there, study to show thyself approved a workman, a worker. We need workers, workmen in the industry. You know, I think about a workman that must know his work. I think about a bricklayer, must know how to lay those bricks. I think about the carpenter that has to know how to read blueprints. Where's my carpenter at in here? Where's my blueprint man? Scott, come on up. I think about Scott, and God has gifted him. And Scott builds houses, and not just any house. He custom builds homes. He designs them and fabricates them to what you need. And I think about what Scott does, and I think about every job that Scott goes on. He's got an architect, and he's got somebody that has blueprints. And Scott, how do you read them things? How do you do? And you have to hold that mic up. I know he ain't never had a mic in his hand. But he'll have to hold it up. So you got a blueprint of a house, and you're a worker. Wow, what a beautiful home. But man, where would the door be on this thing? I have no clue. How do you know where a door is here?
The architect gives you dimensions.
Uh-huh.
And you have a layout. It's called a floor plan.
Right.
And you can read them right to left, left to right, whatever. And you just put these numbers together.
Uh-huh.
And it will give you a center of a door. And then you put it where the plan tells you.
Awesome. So you take these measurements that I'm looking at here, tells you what corner to measure from, either right or left, and it tells you exactly where the door goes?
Exactly.
That's awesome. Right. What about a window on this thing? Where are windows
basically
at?
Basically the same thing. You come from a corner. It gives you dimensions to the center. Like this one has two windows.
Right.
Come 3 foot four, then go 8 foot, and you place your windows right there in the wall.
Awesome. So if you didn't have this floor plan, could you build this house? The people wanted it?
Probably not, no.
No, so you got to have a floor plan and the guidelines to follow by.
Exactly, yes.
Awesome. Praise the Lord. Thank you, brother. All right. So you got a worker, you know. But what did the worker tell me? You had to have a floor plan. You had to have directions. The floor plan is Jesus. He wants us to be a worker for his ministry, a worker for him. And if we got the floor plans and we follow them like it's here, we can build a house exactly the way they want it?
Yes.
and put the doors where they wanted it, and the windows where they wanted it.
Exactly.
So as long as we followed this plan, we'd be all right.
Same as what Jesus
wanted. If we followed this plan, will we be okay as a worker for Jesus?
Yes, sir.
Awesome. Right. Praise the Lord. Amen. As a worker. As a worker. Not only that, but when you look at verses 19 through 22, 19 through 22, it says, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. Having the seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in the great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some of honor and some of dishonor. If any man therefore will purge himself from these things, he shall be a vessel of honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work." You know, he talked about being a vessel of honor. He said there's vessels of gold, there's vessels of silver, there are vessels of honor, there's vessels of dishonor. And he talks about those things. He talks about the vessels up here of wood and the vessels of stubble and all that. But God wants a vessel that is clean, a vessel that he can see through, a vessel that he can use, a vessel that is clean. You know, so many times in life, we get ourselves in trouble. We get ourselves involved in little sins in our life, you know, whatever they may be, sexual immorality. We put it in there. Dirties up the cup just a little bit. You know, maybe we're spending all night in the honky-tonk and wasting all our money so we can't take care of our children and we can't pay for them to go to school. We can't put food on the table because maybe we're drinking it all away. Or maybe that ain't enough. Maybe we go down the road and we dabble a little bit in narcotics. Start putting some drugs in our life. And dirties up a little bit more. Before too long, that vessel that the Lord wanted to use now begins to get all kind of clutter in it. Begins to get stuff built up in there that he can't tend to use. You know, whatever that may be in our life. You know, and then we just continue on. Maybe some little water gets added to the process here. Then guess what? Really gets a little bit muddy and cloudy in our life, don't it? Get a little bit of mud in there and put it around the vessel. Add a little bit more stuff into the life. Man, we don't need Jesus. Yeah, I got this taken care of. Dirt gets up there, starts muddying up our life, starts clouding up our vision, starts getting all this dirt in our life and everything. And God says he wants a clean vessel. God says he wants to use a vessel that can be used of him. We keep on dibbling and daddling. For too long, man, we get our lives all clouded up. Can't even see nothing. God can't even use us because there's nothing but filth and dirt in our life. But you know what? Jesus says he loves us. He wants to take that filth and that dirt in our life, and in his own way, he wants to begin to rake it out. He wants to begin to clean up our life. He wants to rake it out. He wants to pour a little bit of his Holy Spirit in here. He wants to pour a little bit of his power in our life. He wants to let the Holy Spirit just begin to work a little bit in your life and my life. And as that Holy Spirit begins to work in your life and my life, that dirt that was once there begins to fade away. That dirt, as the Holy Spirit works in our life and works in that vessel, begins to go away. Begins to fade away. Oh, there might be a little stain left and a little something that needs to be worked on. But each time we allow that Holy Spirit to work in our life and we begin to listen to him and we begin to let him work and we begin to let him be God, we begin to take him and offer ourselves up to him to be a vessel to be used of honor, to be a vessel to be used of him, it begins to clean up our lives. We begin to see that God has begun to work in our lives. Then not only that, but God wants to take that Holy Spirit, he wants to begin to polish you up. He wants to get into your life real deep. where your heart is. And he wants to take that precious blood of Jesus that can make your sins white as snow. He wants to take that white and wants to put it in the inside of your life. He wants to begin to clean you up. Wants to polish you up. He wants to take care of those habits and those old ways, that old sinful life, those heartaches and stuff like that in our life. He wants to remove it. He wants to clean it up so that we can be used as a vessel of honor, so he can begin to pour his Holy Spirit and his power into our life. And when he pours into us, he can use it. We can drink it. It'll become clear. It'll become fit for the Master's use. Become fit for the Master's use. Wants to pour into our life. Wants to use us. Wants to pour into our life. He wants us to make a vessel of honor. He wants to say that if a man therefore will purge himself from these things, he shall be a vessel of honor, sanctified and met for the Master's use, prepared unto every good work that the Lord has for you and me. Not only that, my friend, but he wants you to be a servant. In the last verses of 23 through 26, he says this. He said, "But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And a servant," he wants you to be a servant, "and a servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose them, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the knowledge of the truth." God wants to use you. God wants you as a servant. God wants to use your life. God wants to use us. Maybe things in our life are clouded up like tea. But God wants us to use, and God wants us to invest in the life of these children. He wants us to take his Holy Spirit. Grab that cup. He wants to take it. Go ahead. And he wants us to pour into the lives of others. He wants us to invest in them, like Timothy did, and like Paul did to Timothy. He wants us to take this, and he wants us to pour into their life what the Lord can do for us. He wants to use us. He wants to take us. He wants us to pour into the lives of others love and peace and gentleness. He wants to take us as a teacher, pour into the lives of those that are around us love, patience, meekness, gentleness. He wants to take us, and he wants us to pour into the lives of others that love, that patience, that meekness, that gentleness. He wants to take us, and he wants to use us, and he wants us to pour into the life of those that love, that patience, that gentleness. He wants us to be that Paul and pour into the life of Timothy, that love, that patience, amen, that meekness, that gentleness. He wants to pour into our lives. He wants us to empty our vessels.
Amen.
Empty our vessels to be used for his honor and glory. He wants to empty our vessels to be used for his honor and glory. Folks, as Adam comes and Danny comes and Gang comes, listen to me. I know it's been lengthy, but folks, God gave me a message I wanted to share with you. Amen. Folks, sometimes it takes a visual lesson to get a message across. Folks, as I mentioned through the scripture, there were eight aspects of a believer in 2 Timothy that you can see as a Christian child of God, that God desires for us to be. As I said in there, as you've seen earlier, God wants us to invest in the lives of others. God wants us to pour ourselves into them. He sees us as a son. Paul seen Timothy as a son, as a spiritual son. Folks, we need to look at our brothers and sisters in Christ and our children, and we need to see them as our spiritual brothers and sisters, as our spiritual daughters and sons. And we need to invest in them. Just as a believer is a steward, And as I said, how my Paul, Brother Leroy, and my Paul, Brother Bill, invest their lives into me as a younger Timothy, as a preacher. And then to see as my mom invested in me and invested in my boys and my children and Courtney. We have a wonderful time as a family. We go on trips and vacations together. We eat at each other's house. We pick on each other. I tell Courtney she brings a man home and I'm shooting him. It's bottom line. I came home early the other day and there was a red truck in the yard. And Adam was coming down the yard and he seen the red truck. I said, Adam, whose truck is that? He said, I don't know, but I'm about to find out. I said, you tell Courtney if that's some man over there. He's got about 2 seconds to get out before he dies. Did I not? Because I love her, but I ain't got to worry about that with her. She's getting her education for the Lord. Not only that, but as I said, a soldier. As Alex come up. And the privilege I had of marrying my best friend and his wife. And the baby now that's ours too. But knowing all he went through, and Wendy and Tanya would stay on the phone praying and talking and enduring, and mom-in-law praying for Alex until Wendy was able to be transferred up there with him. Long time, wasn't it? 3 years away, that just had contact over a phone ever so often. Doing the business, a soldier, enduring hardships. God wants us to be that soldier. There's going to be things we got to do. An athlete, God wants us to be that. A farmer. Thank the Lord for our farmer, as I said. In hunting in South Carolina. But when I called and said I needed him, left. Got on the road and was here in Jacksonville at 8 o'clock this morning. Tony and Ronnie to be here as farmers. You know, workers for the Lord. God has the blueprints. It's called His Word. Will you apply it? He wants you to be a vessel and a servant. Will you let Him? Will you empty yourself today? Will you empty you of yourself today so God can fill you with His Holy Spirit? Amen.